It took us a lot longer to get to the summit of this mountain than any of us were hoping for. And so, we just kept climbing, because that's what you do. Whether it's a physical mountain, a mental mountain, or an emotional mountain, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. No matter how long the journey, no matter how tough the terrain, you just keep moving forward. Welcome to The Onion Peel, a show where we get real, raw, and honest about life. It's a space where authenticity lives and hope resides. The Onion Peel is a place where we peel back the layers of our stories and discover the unexpected flavoring that each one brings. Hey guys, I'm your host and semi-crazy Christian, Angela McConnell. I'm a middle-aged mom of five with a dead husband, and I've been through some shit in my life. Now, I'm on a mission to bring hope to the world. So join me as we journey through this onion and find hope in the tears. You ready to peel this thing? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Onion Peel. Guess what today is? It is the 7-year anniversary of Don's death. I cannot believe it's been 7 years. It's just unbelievable to me how time flies. Or creeps by. It just depends on the day. I wanted to make sure that today I was recording on his death anniversary because I just wanted to be very present in the moment of what today is. And I just thought it was really appropriate because today, in this episode, I'm going to share what we did as a family on the 1-year anniversary of his death. I just thought it was all very serendipitous. So here's the thing. Today's episode is pretty long. It's close to twice as long as what I usually do. And I debated whether I should split this up into a part one and a part two. And I kept going back and forth. And then I kept trying to configure a way to maybe cut some parts out. And in the end, I just decided that, A, there was really nothing that I could cut out of the story because it was just too impactful of a day. And B, I just figured that if it got to be too much, that you guys could just stop and come back to it at your leisure. I mean, I think it's a good story, obviously. It's just a lot happening. So sometimes, you know, people need breaks. So anyways, the other thing I wanted to mention was that if you're curious to see some pictures of the events that took place on this day 6 years ago, go to theonionpeel.com, hit the blog tab, and hit She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain. And I will post on there a bunch of pictures from our mountain extravaganza. I'll also put the link to the blog post in this episode description. So that's just a little extra piece to this podcast. So let's just get into the story, and I hope that you enjoy it. So here we go. We decided that on the 1-year anniversary, we were going to signify that by climbing Mount Mitchell in North Carolina. Let me give you a little backstory on Mount Mitchell. If you're not familiar with it, Mount Mitchell is the highest peak on the east side of the Mississippi, and it's roughly about 20 miles outside of Asheville, North Carolina. It is part of the Black Mountain Range, which is a subset of the Appalachia Mountain Range. So it's literally the highest peak of the Appalachian Mountains. It's 6,700 feet above sea level at its summit, And it's the fourth most isolated peak in the United States, and actually the 31st most isolated in the world, which just means that it's pretty remote. There's not a lot around you. So when you get up to the top or when you're hiking this thing, you're kind of on your own as far as civilization goes. The trail hike to the summit is 5.5 miles up and 5.5 miles down. So it's a pretty serious hike to take. Now, the reason that we chose Mount Mitchell was because a few years back, when Don was alive and well, we had gone on a family vacation down south, and the kids were probably, well, they were all in elementary school, I can tell you that, except for Drew. He was graduated and working, which is why he couldn't go on this particular vacation with us. And one of the things that we knew we were going to do on this vacation was go to the Vanderbilt Estate, which is in Asheville, North Carolina. And once we were down there, the whole Mount Mitchell thing kind of came into our radar, and we decided, why not take an extra day and go spend some time there? Because we're a family that likes to hike, so it was kind of a perfect fit. Well, at least I like to hike. I think the kids, they like it, but not all of them love it. I adore hiking. I think it's exhilarating. I think it's freeing. I think it's exquisite in its beauty. And probably my favorite part of hiking is that it always humbles me. Even if it's a small hike to a summit, to a waterfall, whatever it is, it's just very humbling. And it makes me feel small in all the best ways. So Don and I decide we're going to go hiking with the kids and have an adventure in the wilderness. So we start out on this Mount Mitchell hike, and we probably hiked up maybe 2 to 3 hours. And we got to a place on the trail where there was a canopy of trees that had sort of grown into each other. And any of you that are familiar with hiking at all, you know that the terrain changes and there are different segments as you ascend a mountain where the vegetation changes, the climate changes. So we had gotten to this place where they were like a viney tree and they had formed this kind of tunnel, and it was really neat. And we were sort of hanging out there for a few minutes. And Don and I were sort of discussing if we should keep going because we could tell that the kids were, you know, getting impatient and kind of over it because, again, they were younger. And we could also feel that the climate was changing. It wasn't crazy cold. It's not like that, but you could just kind of feel the crispness in the air. Well, just as we're discussing what we should do, this couple comes down from the summit. And so we asked them, hey, how much further is it to the top? And they're like, oh, it's a few hours still. So that pretty much made up our mind for us. We did a 180 and started trekking back down the mountain. And all in all, we spent a good chunk of our day on Mount Mitchell, had some great times, great memories, and it was a really good day. But we never actually made it to the summit. Fast forward. Don dies. His 1 year anniversary comes up. The kids and I are deciding, what do we want to do? How do we want to mark this day? It's been 1 year. And anybody that's lost someone really understands what it means to get through the first year without your person there. You actually do feel this sense of accomplishment that you've made it through hell and somehow survived all the first holidays. Even though they sucked, you actually made it through. So when it comes to that 1 year anniversary, you not only want to honor and remember the person that you loved, you're also celebrating your achievement of survival. And there's something to be said about that. So as the kids and I were talking, I brought up Mount Mitchell and I said, what do you guys think about going back and climbing Mount Mitchell? We never made it to the top. And you know how much Dad always liked hiking. Don loved nature. In fact, I'd swear he was actually born in the woods. He loved being outside so much. And I said, this time, we'll make it to the summit. We'll take Dad with us. And when we get to the top, we'll spread some of his ashes. And he'll be at the highest point east of the Mississippi. That sounds like a pretty awesome tribute to Dad, doesn't it? And they pretty much all agreed. Because you see, deep down, we all knew that it just had to be something grand. Something noble. Something deserving of Don. A statement that said, your life is greater than your death. That your love will last a lifetime. And that no matter what, we, the McConnells, will not be defeated. So, we headed down south to tame the beast. I rented a cabin, we packed our gear, got in the car, and went. Now, the morning of our journey, we got up early, we packed all of our gear and supplies. This wasn't our first hiking rodeo, and we were feeling confident, prepared, and ready to conquer this giant. So our adventure begins at the base of the mountain. Now, one of the first things that we usually do and a lot of people do when they go hiking is picking out your proverbial hiking stick. Because you got to have a buddy to help you along the way. So that was the focus for the first 45 minutes or so. And eventually, everybody found their perfect partner for the day. Honestly, for the first several hours on our climb, everything was pretty uneventful, pretty perfect. We enjoyed the scenery, it was beautiful out, saw lots of wildlife, sat and had a snack along a beautiful mountain stream, caught some phenomenal vistas, and really just felt amazing. We felt good about our mission to take Don to the top, and we were just enjoying being together as a family, away from the world, away from our real life sadness, away from having to worry about anything other than just getting Dad to the peak of this mountain. It was singular, and it was beautiful. And we could feel that. So we get a few hours in, and we get to the point where that canopy of trees were. The place that we had been a few years earlier with Don, and that was the point that we had turned around to head back down the mountain. And so we stopped, took pictures, and I was like, all right, guys, this is it. This is as far as we had gotten before with Dad. So as we head on, it's going to be all new. We're heading out into the great unknown. And that was exciting. It had a curiosity about it. What's out there past Dad? What are we going to find? And I think the anticipation of that hope made us feel like we were close. Close to reaching the top. Because we had made it this far. So surely the reward can't be too much further out there. Well, that is where the first miscalculation began to settle in. Because I had remembered what that couple had said to us those many years ago, that it was still several hours to reach the summit. But for some reason in my mind, I either didn't want to believe that, or refused to believe that, or couldn't comprehend that, because look where we've come from. It can't still be that hard to get there, can it? It can't be that long still. No way. But the bottom line is, I could be in denial all I wanted, but the truth is always the truth and must be faced eventually if we ever want to make it to the top. And I can assure you that our truth was eventually known, and that in reality, it took us a lot longer to get to the summit of this mountain than any of us were hoping for. And so, we just kept climbing, because that's what you do. Whether it's a physical mountain, a mental mountain, or an emotional mountain, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, no matter how long the journey, no matter how tough the terrain, you just keep moving forward. And let me tell you, I felt like we were never going to get to the summit. The vegetation changed. It became like a very grassy, open field for a while. You almost thought you could see the top. You could look up and you really thought that, man, we're close. Oh boy. Again, wrong. Wrong. And we easily hiked another hour and a half to 2 hours. It was crazy. But we finally get to the top. We made it. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. We made it. And for those of you that don't want to hike the top, just so you know, FYI, you can get in the car and drive there. But, you know, what's the challenge in that? So when you get to the top, there's a parking lot. There's a lookout area. There's a little store where you can buy a souvenir, some vending machines. I mean, it's still pretty basic, but it is a little congregating area. When you get up that high, when you're up 66, 6700 feet, you're in the clouds. So the visibility looking out for us that particular day, you couldn't even really tell how high you were because we were just standing in the clouds. Now, I think on a clear day where there's obviously no clouds in the sky, I'm sure the view is spectacular. But this day, it wasn't like that. But the view was still incredible because you had this feeling almost like, you know, when you're in an airplane and you're flying through the clouds, that's what it felt like. You knew you were up in the heavens. You just could feel it. There was nothing higher than you. And it made you feel very small, obviously in a really cool, humbling way. And the fact that the clouds surrounded us that day seemed not only appropriate, but actually planned. Because not having the ability to have an endless vista meant that we were removed from our visual reality. And so our perspective was able to be more free. We weren't going to be grounded with what we saw with our eyes, and therefore were given the freedom to see what we felt with our hearts. And as we stood up there, it was so quiet, and all you could hear was the wind, and you could feel the power and the strength that it possessed. We could feel the greatness of presence in it. And we knew we were in the presence of God. And whether you're a believer or not, if you would have been with us in that moment, there would have been no doubt in your mind, in your heart, or in your soul. It was simply an undeniable experience. And it became this incredible moment of significance that we just knew had been ordained since the beginning of time, specifically set for us six McConnells on top of the mountain that day. We knew it was a divine appointment, and that we had arrived at our destiny at the exact moment we were supposed to. We felt that we had climbed closer to where Don was, that it was almost like we could knock on his front door and just say, "Hey." It was a very powerful segment of time as we were up there. It was cathartic. It was healing. It was profound. And it was comforting. And it was almost like we didn't want to leave. But we had a job to do. And it was time to do it. So we find the perfect spot, and I pull out the Tupperware because that's what we had. That's what I put them in. And I made sure to duct tape it very tightly so we didn't lose any of them along the way. And besides, if you knew my Don, Tupperware would have been his mode of transportation. I can hear him now. "Honey, just throw me in some Tupperware. I'll be fine. It'll be better to keep me nice and fresh that way." Oh, golly. That's him, too. Seriously, that's what he would have said. Oh, I love that man. Okay, back to the seriousness of the matter at hand here. We're spreading a dead man's ashes here. I need to bring it down a notch. Sorry, just sometimes I just feel like you should be able to laugh in any situation, even death. And it's not out of disrespect. It's just that, you know, sometimes things are funny. Even if it's picturing my dead husband in his Tupperware with duct tape all over it, bouncing around in my backpack, telling me to take it easy, just like he did when I used to drive. I don't know. I just find that funny. Anyways, I'm digressing way too much. Back to the story. So, we all gather a handful of the ashes, and we have our moment together as we're holding him, and then we each go off and have our moment alone with him. And in our moment alone, we spread a little bit of him wherever our hearts said we should, in the middle of all that greatness, on top of the highest peak east of the Mississippi. Well, now that our mission was done and Don was immortalized at the top of Mount Mitchell, it was time for us to start our trek down the mountain, the easy part. So we thought. We gathered ourselves together, discussed how long we thought it was going to take us to get down based on how long it took us to make it to the top, taking into account that going down is much quicker than coming up. We estimated how much daylight we thought we had, and we pretty much surmised that it was going to be close as far as running out of sunlight, but that we thought we could make it without a reasonable doubt. And in all honesty, we didn't have any choice, so I don't even know what the point of discussing any of that was, other than just to get our bearings, get our game plan, recheck our food and supplies to make sure we didn't need to grab anything else out of the vending machines. And we started to head back down the mountain. As we started our descent, and I'm talking we're maybe 500 yards into the hike down, and I don't know what I did. I don't know how I stepped. I don't know what happened. But I blew my knee out. And it hurt like a bitch. And I'm thinking to myself, are you serious right now? This is not good. Not good at all. I got 6 miles of hiking terrain ahead of me. But then I thought, well, what am I going to do? I got to get down off this mountain. And it wasn't like I could turn around and walk back up to the summit from where we came, because things had been shutting down up there, because it was starting into the evening now. The early evening, late afternoon, early evening. So there wasn't going to be any help up there. There really wasn't anybody up there anyways. Remember, this is the fourth most isolated peak in the United States. And so I stopped and I was like, you guys, I just hurt my knee. Let me just take a moment here and try and assess the damage. So I looked at my knee. It wasn't too swollen yet. It hurt, but I thought, well, I'm going to take some Tylenol, Motrin, whatever I had that I had packed in our backpacks, which I did. I wrapped it up tight with an ACE bandage that we had, and we headed back on our way down the mountain. In the beginning, for probably the first hour, it hurt and I was in pain, but it was doable. I just had to change my gait and how I was walking down the mountain. I had to be very careful and very gingerly about it. And at least I was walking down, not up, where that would have been a lot more pressure on my knee. So I was making my way. I was going slower. We all had to go a little slower because of me. That was clear that I was holding up the party a little bit. But we were making progress. At one point, we got to the grassy open field area again. And the pain in my knee started to get worse. Marin and Luke had been bugging me to just let them go down the mountain on their own, because they just wanted to run and go. And for a while, I said, no, we're not doing that. No, we're going to stay together. And at this time, they were 8th grade and 7th grade. And after their persistence and me having the realization that I was going to be slowing down even more on this mountain, I had to make a call, because I began to weigh the fact that I'm going to keep everybody on this mountain a lot longer than they have to, and eventually we're going to start to run out of daylight, and that's not going to be a good situation. So I had to make a choice what was going to be the best thing to do. And I also know my children. Those two together were a very good combination. Luke is detail-oriented, mathematically minded. He has an amazing memory, and he's very much a protector. Marin would very much follow her brother's lead. She's also my sensor feeler, so I knew that she would be very keenly aware of anything going on around them. And I knew that they would feed off each other in all the best ways. They were a good team. So I looked at Drew and I said, what do you think? He said, Mom, just let them go. They'll be fine. There's only one trail. Same trail up, same trail down. One trail. So I thought, well, true. And so if anything happened, we'd eventually be coming up right behind them, or actually down right behind them. So we took the packs and we got them their own pack, made sure that all the supplies they needed were in that pack. And I said, go for it. Yes, everybody had cell phones. But again, this is 2014. And it's nothing like how it is now. I mean, it was good, but getting signal on a mountaintop, no way in hell. Not going to happen. And we knew that. So even though I knew they had their phones, I knew that we were not going to really be able to contact them. They were excited as heck to be able to go on their way. They were going to run down the mountain, literally run down the mountain. They just wanted to go. And we had a movie player in the car, so their plan was, as soon as they got down off the mountain, they were going to get in the car and watch a movie and wait for us. So I gave them the car keys and they went on their way. And it was a very uneasy feeling, even to this day, thinking about it. It really makes me uneasy, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that and let them go. But I did, and that was the decision I made at the time. So that leaves Drew, 26, Bryn, 6th grade, and Reese, freshman in high school, and me, still hobbling along. All of a sudden, it starts to rain. Just lightly at first. But within a very short amount of time, it starts to pour. I mean, coming down in buckets. So we pull out the ponchos, but they did absolutely no good. We were sopping wet within minutes. And we were in a section of terrain that didn't have a lot of cover. There was not a lot of canopy cover from the trees. It was a lush vegetation, but it wasn't necessarily with tall trees. And so all the leaves were getting soaked, and all we were doing was rubbing up against them as we're walking on the trail, just getting even more soaked with water because of them. But we kept plugging away, and my knees continually getting more painful. And my freshman says to me, "Mom, I got to get off this trail." I said, "Well, we all want to get off this trail." He goes, "No, I got to get off this trail now." I said, "Well, okay, that's what we're doing." He said, "Mom, I just can't keep going at this pace." He said, "I'm not feeling that great right now. And this rain is making everything worse." And he said, "I just want to be able to do what Marin and Luke did and just run and get off this thing." I said, "Reese, I really don't know if I want you going by yourself." He's like, "Mom, I'll be fine. You know me. I'm the woodsman of the family." Which is true. Again, you have to know your children. And he was correct. He is my outdoor man. That guy knows everything about hunting, fishing, guns, knives. He's just that dude. And he always has been. And on top of all that, he's always been someone that loves nature to the point of always reading books, educating himself, knows all different bird types and different species of all kinds of animals. That's just him. So, again, I was faced with a decision, and I thought about it. You know, looked at Drew, and he's like, "Mom, just let him go. Reese will be fine." "All right, Reese. Just be careful." He says, "I will." Again, made sure that he had a pack filled with supplies, water, all that good stuff, and sent him on his way. So there I was with Drew and Bryn, my oldest and youngest. It was it was just interesting. Because you know how it is as parents, we are like, "What did I just do?" We always second guess ourselves, or I would say many times we second guess ourselves. But inside my gut, I knew that I had made the right choice with letting Luke and Marin go. They're a good combo together. And I knew letting Reese go, he was just such a young man of nature and knowledge of the woods that I knew he'd be okay. So the three of us keep making our trek down. It's still raining, pouring. We've been hiking now probably 2-3 hours down the mountain. And it's very quickly getting dark. My youngest doesn't like heights, but God bless her, she's such a trooper as we're hiking a mountain. She's really good at pushing past her fears. But I could tell she was getting nervous because it was getting dark and she's miserable. And I could just see mentally she needed to get off this mountain. And me keeping her and Drew at such a slow pace because I was continuing to slow down in my gait was not what was best for her. And once again, I say, you have to know your children. And I knew that the only other person Bryn felt safe with, besides me, was Drew. And that Drew was the only other person that she would go ahead and leave me to get off the mountain with. And I knew Drew knew that, which is why he was the perfect one for the job. So I just looked at Drew and I said, just get her off the mountain, Drew. Just take her and get her off this mountain. Just go. I'll be fine by myself. And he's like, Mom, are you sure? I don't want to leave you. And I said, Drew, I just need to know that everybody is going to be safe. I said, who cares if I don't get off this sucker till tomorrow? I want to know that you guys are going to get off of this mountain in one piece, physically, emotionally, and mentally intact. I want you to take what little bit of daylight is left and just bolt and go. So I made sure they had a pack, the last pack, with supplies, and sent them on their way. And there I was, by myself, hiking down Mount Mitchell. It was just an unbelievable picture. As I was in such physical pain, trying to maneuver on these trails with stumps and rocks and slipperiness from the mud now, I was wet and cold, and now it's dark. Pitch dark. I had gotten to another section of terrain now where it becomes more woodsy. So any moonlight that you would have does not shine through because the trees block the light. So it's dark. Yet I just keep plugging away. Very slowly now. Every step I took, everyone, I was wincing out loud in pain. My knee was the size of a watermelon. And to top it all off, I had no supplies. No water, no flashlight, no food. Because as a parent, you just have to make sure that your kids are taken care of. That's all that matters. Period. What you need is a moot point, especially in a survival situation. I don't know that I can accurately describe how truly scared I was. And after plugging away like this for quite some time, I started to become very disoriented. The darkness of the night started to play tricks on my mind, and the mental stress of trying to navigate the trail with the physical pain of my knee and the fact that I had no idea where I was or how much longer I was going to be on this trail was enough to send me into a deep state of panic. I was terrified. And remember, it's still raining. I am chilled to the bone, to the point where my teeth are chattering. I have been sopping wet for hours upon hours. I can't feel my toes because of the weird way that I've had to walk down this mountain. And so every time I take a step, I can barely feel the ground underneath my feet. And by this point, my knee, it's just gone. It's giving out on me every other step. It's literally not supporting me anymore. And I was to the point that I just couldn't go on because I couldn't walk. And the worst part was, I was in constant worry for my children. I was terrified that something had happened to them and that they didn't make it off the mountain. It was just one of the worst times of my life. I literally felt like I was losing my mind. That the disorientation and the confusion was beginning to shut the system down, and that I was going to lose the ability to think and the ability to physically move. And I became acutely aware that time was of the essence before I was going to lose voluntary control of my decision-making abilities. It was a very foreign state of existence, and I felt so helpless. There was nothing I could do except keep moving forward. That's all I could hear in my head. I was filled with so much terror and anxiety that I didn't have the mental capacity to even pray. I was beyond that. But see, I didn't even need to pray, because hope is always there. Because God is always there. He was the one saying, keep moving forward. And some might argue that's just fight or flight response. No, it wasn't. It was something so much bigger than that. So much more powerful than that. Eventually, I came to the end of the trail. But the thing was, I was so completely disoriented at this point that I literally became paralyzed in being able to make a decision on which way to walk. My system had shut down. Legit. Could not move my muscles to take a step. So even though I had made it technically off the mountain, I still had to find my way back to the parking lot, which was its own trail. It was its own direction that had to be found. And I couldn't do it because I was frozen. So I didn't have any sense of relief. The parking lot was still a ways away. That much I knew. And I knew that there was choices in the direction that you had to take to find it. And I also knew there was no way in hell that I had the mental capacity to make any of those choices. And as I stood there, completely paralyzed, all of a sudden, I look ahead and I see one firefly light up. One, just one. And remember, it's still raining. Fireflies don't light up in the rain. And I just knew it was a sign. Keep moving forward. So I walked in the direction that that firefly lit up. And eventually I came to another crossroads and I had to decide once again which way to go. And I hadn't a clue. And once again, I was frozen. And all of a sudden, I saw a second firefly light up. Keep moving forward. So I took a step and started walking towards where the firefly had lit up. And then, once again, I come to an intersection where I have to choose which way to go. And I stopped and I just said, I'm done. I'm defeated. I cannot take another step. And then I hear, keep moving forward. And there was a sternness in it this time, different than the times before. It wasn't mean, but it was definitely authoritative. So I take a breath, and I look up, and I see this light, and it was way off in the distance, and it was flashing on and off, on and off. And I knew it wasn't a firefly, it was something else. And then I realized it was coming closer, and I just knew it was Drew. And I just yelled out, Drew, is that you? He said, yeah, Mom. I'm coming. And I said, are the kids safe? He said, yep, they're all safe watching a movie. And I literally just like fell to my knees. I was so relieved. Even now, you can tell, 6 years later, holy moly. I can't hardly talk about it. I was just so relieved. Everybody was safe. We made it. So, Drew came and got me and walked me back to where the car was. It was still a little bit of a jaunt. And I just walked up to the car, and it was kind of funny because the kids were all sitting in there watching Transformers. Like nothing had happened. They were totally chilling. They were all good, eating the rest of the snacks that had been in the car, all snuggled in with their blankets. They were just as happy as pigs and shit. Oh gosh, it warmed my heart. I was like, how's everybody doing? They're like, we're great. How are you? How's your knee? And I'm like, yeah, it sucks. Thanks. Oh gosh. What a day. And now it's somewhere between 11 o'clock and midnight. And as we're driving back to the cabin, I get the update on everybody's journey. Luke and Marin had been down off the mountain for about 3 hours. Reese made it down about an hour after them, and Drew and Bryn about an hour to an hour and a half after Reese. And then once Drew made sure everybody was settled in and doing well, he headed back out to find me. Everyone made it down before it got pitch dark, and nobody had any real issues. So we get back to the cabin. Everybody's sopping wet, blisters everywhere. So everyone goes, gets their showers, gets cleaned up, and then it's my turn to do the same. Now here's the thing. Once we got back to the cabin and everybody was safe, that's when I could actually release all the fear, all the anxiety, all the mental anguish that I had been experiencing for hours. It all just came out. But it wasn't really pretty, and it didn't happen all at once. It was a phasing. And the first phase was that all I could do was breathe. For the first time, I felt like I could breathe. That's all I had, nothing else but breathing. And so as I go to take my bath, I find that I don't even know how to turn on the water. I literally couldn't figure it out. I'm not exaggerating. I couldn't figure out how to turn on the bathtub. There was no trick to it. I just couldn't mentally connect the dots to be able to turn the faucet on. I remember my girls knocking on the door and asking me, are you okay? And I just said, no, I need help. So they came in and they could visibly see that mom wasn't doing very well. And so they got the bath running and just helped get me cleaned up because I couldn't do it on my own. There was no hot water left, of course. And my feet were 100% black and blue, covered in blood. The whole bathtub just filled with blood. It was horrific. I was just not in good shape. They helped me get into bed, and then they were off to bed themselves. So at this point, everybody's in their respective rooms and basically asleep. And at this point, phase two starts and I begin to mentally unravel. The pain in my knee was excruciating. I was so confused and overwhelmed. I couldn't wrap my mind around what had just happened. I started hyperventilating. I couldn't catch my breath. And then the sobbing began. I was sobbing because I was so perplexed as to the events that had taken place. I was sobbing because I was so mad that the day turned so crappy. I was sobbing because I was so grateful and relieved that everybody was safe. I was sobbing because I was in such intense pain, I didn't know what to do. I was sobbing because I was drowning in this moment of my life. And I just began to cry out to God for answers. What just happened? What was this? This was supposed to be something joyous, something that we were going to achieve, something that was going to bring us healing, not more pain and grief. And look at me. I'm sitting here instead in a puddle of misery. I'm physically shaking from pain, just like I was the day that Don died. A year ago at this time, I'm in the exact same place I was. Delusional, confused, out of my mind trying to process what the hell just happened. Why? Why would we be here again? Why would you make me sit in this place a year later, this exact place again? Why do I have to continue to be defeated? And the moment that I finished with my rant, my answers came. Life didn't defeat you. You just defeated it. You won. You made it. You survived. You chose to keep moving forward through the pain, through the fear, through the confusion, through the uncertainty. I just provided the hope. You chose the perseverance. And I thought, yeah, okay, but it's not like I had a choice. That's where you're wrong. You did have a choice. You chose not to give up. You chose to walk in the hope. You chose to trust in your children's abilities. You chose to allow your family to grieve, process, and heal their way at their pace. You chose to believe that you could overcome, regardless of how bad things looked. And I sat there and I thought about that. And I thought about what the day had been. That the day started off with a feeling of anticipation, of excitement, almost feeling like we had already achieved the summit because we had made it through the first year of somehow living without Don. And when we had finally reached that summit, we had triumphed. There was no question. We made it. So our surmise would be that it's smooth sailing from here on out. The hard part's over. We're going to be heading down the mountain. That's the easy part, right? And that's what God was trying to show me. Yes, you made it through the first year. And you all have been brave and strong. But the journey isn't over. And there is going to be many challenges along the way. But don't lose hope. You're not alone, and I will always be there to light the way. You just have to choose whether or not you're going to keep moving forward. And that was our lesson that day as we climbed Mount Mitchell. The journey is never over. But that's what makes life so exciting. That's what makes hope so essential. That's what makes each day worth getting up, no matter how difficult it might be to face it. Life is an adventure. Whether you're going up or whether you're coming down. Whether you have a blown knee or whether you have a moment where you touch the heavens. Whether you're doing it by yourself or you're doing it with others. Whether you're laughing because you have your dead husband in a Tupperware container, or you're freaking out because you can't remember how to turn on the faucet. Life is an adventure, so we might as well learn to enjoy the journey. So that's story time for today, guys. Again, I know it was a little long, so I apologize. I hope it wasn't too much, but that day we climbed that mountain will be a day in the McConnell family that goes down in infamy. And I just had to share all of it. And interestingly enough, my kids aren't really big hiking fans anymore. I wonder why. I still love it, though. One of my favorite things to do. And remember, if you'd like to see some pictures of our mountain excursion, go to theonionpeel.com and hit the blog tab and then click on She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain, that post, and I'll have a bunch of pictures on there if you're interested in seeing some visuals. Thanks for sharing your time with me today. As always, I would appreciate any like, share, follows, subscribe. That way you know when I drop the latest podcast. I put them out every other Sunday night. They usually drop pretty late, but I try to get them out by midnight. Any questions, comments, you can always DM me anywhere on social media. And with that, it's time to put this onion back in the bin until we talk again. I hope you guys have a day that just keeps moving forward. See you guys!